one of the guy asked if you had any, you know, basically your opinion on night game opening strategies in a bar, not a club. Very specific.
Night game opening strategies. Yeah, you know, at night in bars, I think the more out there, the better. Because as a woman, we're sick of guys walking up saying the same bullshit all the time. Like canned lines will pretty much never work for you unless you're delivering them like as a joke. So the more random and ridiculous you can get, the better. And again, it draws back to what we were talking about earlier with the state of mind. If you're enjoying what you're saying and having fun with it, she's going to hop on that on board with that as well. We used to play games at Pickup 101, like, what's the worst line that you could actually make work, you know? And we had a coach, Ben, who walked up and he made some ridiculous like line about like chopping up dead baby. He walked up and was like, man, so boring out here. I just want to like chop up some dead baby and make it stew. You know, like that's probably the worst thing you could possibly say. But there was a bunch of Irish girls and he was like, you know, it's like haggis, but with baby. And then they were cracking up and it was memorable and he was in there right away, you know? But is that a great pickup line? I don't think you should write it down. But it just goes to show, that if you just go up there and own whatever you're saying, like that's what's going to work best for you, which is why I try not to even teach my guys canned lines. I just kind of lead by example, walk up, say ridiculous things that are situational, take things in, say things that are really out there and take some risks. And those are the things that work the best.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everyone in a bar is just looking to, you know, you're there to have fun, right? So if you can bring the fun, if you can say something shocking, something interesting, something that's like, you know, attention grabbing worthy, then, you know, that's really all it takes. Like literally you can say anything. I mean, I remember we were all in San Francisco for, I think it was a Artist Seduction. And we it was like me, Manish, Maurice, Ben, Asher, and Maurice drew the small straw. And I think me and Ben came up with a line. I don't want to take credit because, you know, maybe this is someone's favorite line. I might have had a part in it, but the line was, hey, I saw you and I really just had a really strong urge to stick my big toe in your vagina.
Oh, yeah. You were just talking about that.
So you went with that line, and I don't think it worked out too well for him. That might have been a little aggressive. We all got a big kick out of watching him crash and burn.
Yeah, but even that, you know, like even if she reacts badly, you just keep playing with it as if she kind of doesn't get it. Like if she's like, oh my God, that's disgusting. You could be like, no, I just got a pedicure yesterday. It'll feel great. You know, it's like still keep kind of, you know? Like, no matter what, you're just rolling with it and having fun as if she's playing along, you know, and then you're persistent, you keep trying. And if she's still not having it, like, then you can turn it around and be like, all right, you've completely crushed my ego for the night. Great job. You know, where you're still having fun, smiling, and you can go with it from there. But there is no failure, you know, there's no rejection, only feedback. So,
yeah. And being able to turn those situations around, I think that's like, I feel like once you can get to that level with your conversation skills, like a whole new world kind of opens up in terms of like the options that you have. I feel like, you know, a lot of guys will put so much stock in the opening line, and it's really more about the follow-up, right? The opening line is just the opening line. They might not even hear you, but it's how you respond to their responses, and how you basically pivot and change directions.
Exactly, because when you're just opening and saying something initially, it's all just you. It's as soon as they respond that it becomes an interaction, and that's what you're looking for. And what they're looking for is how you respond to the actual interaction. You know, it takes two to create something, so you just want them to engage. As long as you get them to engage, and you can play with it from there, you're good to go.
Yeah, and it's you know, I'm guessing it's surprising for most girls, like the guys just totally miss a lot of the signals. Like they're so worried about what they're going to say or what they're going to say next. they completely miss all the signals, and that's where all the gold is. Like, that's where the emotional thread of the conversation is. That's where you can really make a connection. And I feel like you can really just walk up and say anything and just then go based on her reaction.
Exactly. Isn't the whole point of interacting with other people so that you can bring women into your experience? If you're only focused on yourself, then it's like you're playing solitaire, you know, like you're missing the point of what you're trying to accomplish. So you have to just listen and pay attention to them. And it takes a lot of the pressure off of you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of the whole beauty of calling it out, right?
Yeah.
Can't do that unless you can read people. So what do you do with, you know, sometimes you'll get, some guys are really good at like reading emotions. Do you have any tips for guys that struggle with that? Like how they can practice that more, get better?
With reading emotions? I think to recognize emotions in others, you first have to be able to recognize them in yourself. So think about the things that cause you to have emotional reactions. What gets you most excited in life? What are your triggers for that? What makes you the most pissed off? You know, and what does it look like when you react to those things? And then when you're within an interaction, you're going to notice those, and then you'll be able to relate to them more. You know, and you could even call it out. If you do a little bit of work, spend 5 minutes thinking about what causes you to have emotional reactions. Next time you're talking to a girl and you think you see something similar, you could say, oh, that it seems like you get frustrated by that. You know, I know what you mean. You know, what really frustrates me is this. And even if you're wrong and she's like, actually, no, I wasn't really frustrated about that. It's okay, because she's still talking about herself, which is the goal.
Right.
Better just to take risks and kind of call it out. And as you learn to have better social awareness, you're going to get more and different feedback as to whether you're right or not. So just take a risk and call it out and see if you're correct about what she's feeling. Try to relate and take that feedback and go from there.
Yeah, I think people love to, you know, have other people. I mean, it's, I don't know, for lack of a better word, we call it like a cold read or a warm read. Like, you know, people love to have that happen to them, even if you're wrong, right?
Exactly.
It's, you know, everyone wants the attention to be on them. And if you can listen to someone, then usually you're a great conversationalist, but most people just don't really listen. They just want to talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows that you're actually paying attention to them, and it really uncovers your intention of trying to get to know them on a deeper level, which a lot of women really want. So even if you're wrong, it still shows that that's what you're aiming towards, which is still a builder for some attraction.
Right, right. So switching gears a little bit, do you have any advice on first dates?
On first dates. Oh, man.
I mean, that's a really odd question.
that's broad.
If you were thinking like a guy who's never been on a first date, he got a girl's number, she's excited to go out with him, vice versa. You know, what if you could give like the, I don't know, put you on the spot, like a 1 minute elevator pitch, you know, what would he do? How would he execute that date?
Okay. I mean, a first date, I'll give you an example. A client recently asked me to develop a workshop on networking. And I was like, you know, I already have a workshop on first dates, and it's pretty much the same thing. Because what do you want to accomplish when you network? You want people to be able to really quickly and easily see who you are, an accurate idea of who you are. So you want to make a real positive, accurate first impression. You want them to have a positive and fun experience with you. And you want them to leave feeling like they want to interact with you more, right? If it's a good fit. If it's not, and it's not the kind of person you want in your life, it's better off that you figure that out right away and you don't waste any time and have a placeholder. So the best thing you can do is demonstrate your personality in a really honest way. So putting yourself in environments where you feel comfortable and at ease is going to put her at ease and let you really shine and be kind of in your comfort zone. Also, you know, you want to make it fun. So you guys are having fun and laughing together, and you're touching and building some sexual chemistry. But it's also important to balance that out with building some rapport and getting to know each other. I think it's important to remember that the goal isn't for the date just to go well. It's for you to figure some stuff out about that person and to see if you want to go on a second date with them. Because maybe you don't. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, right.
You probably don't want to waste time. So yeah, it's a two-way street. So,
yeah, no, that's so true. So it's, you know, as a guy, you know, a lot of guys are just so focused on, like, you know, it trying to make it go well, like, you know, hitting a home run, rounding the bases, whatever you want to call it, right? And they kind of forget, like, wait, do I even like this person?
Exactly.
Like, and a lot of the time, sadly, the answer is yes.
Yeah, you just remember, but by your own behavior, you're giving her sort of a roadmap for how to behave herself. So the more open and real and honest you are, the more she's going to feel at liberty to do the same thing. So you're actually going to get a good read on who she is. If you're trying to be all polished and perfect, she's going to do the same thing. And it might take you 10 dates to figure out that she's crazy. So you don't want any of that. Just be real right up front.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, the more honest you are, you know, you're going to, if someone has shit to hide, they're going to quickly see that and they're going to run the other way. So, you know, I feel like you don't really lose out on anything by being honest and being direct. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think it's a big attraction builder to be willing to let you go your separate ways. So if your goal isn't, yes, we just need to have a perfect date so we get a second date, but instead it's, oh, I'm going to be myself, demonstrate my personality, and if it works, game on. If not, that's cool too. That's a really attractive attitude to have, because you're not just trying to hold on to something that you don't even know what it is. So willing to let it right. go if it's not a good fit.
Yeah, Adam, if you're on the call, we're just relates a lot to, I think, why you've been struggling on your recent dates. You know, not willing to, you know, not really looking for, like, well, maybe they're just not that great. And the way he's been describing some of the women he's been on dates with, you know, my first reaction was like, well, this chick kind of sucks. And you're worried about, like, not scoring with her. Well, you should be glad that you didn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just hung out with a girlfriend this afternoon who said the same thing. She's going out with this guy. She's doing all this nice stuff for him. And he's just kind of dead end, you know, not reciprocating. And she got really upset when the relationship ended. I was like, well, wait, it sounds like you didn't lose anything. It sounds like you dodged a bullet, you know? But we all get so in our perfectionist mode. I think it comes from work. You know, you want to always hit home runs at work. But in your dating life, it's, you don't want 100% success. You want 100% success with the right people. So there's a vetting process before you figure out who those people are.
Yeah, for sure. We have a whole, pretty funny, I should send it to you, a red flags list that we've developed.
Oh, nice.
There's like 99 things on, pretty outrageous. But,
one, I could probably add a few.
Right. One of the things I found recently, like online dating, right? Have you ever done much online dating?
You know, I haven't. I've never done any online dating, as weird as that is.
Not weird at all. Like, every girl I talk to that's normal and cool, like, either has never done it or they tried it one time, like, after a breakup because their friend or their mom told them to go on J-Date or, you know, get on Match. And they go on a few, like, terrible dates, and they're like, well, that was everything that people make it out to be, weird and awkward and fuck that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a quandary for me because, like, it's so easy to get dates online. I mean, you can kind of just, like, cut and paste a lot of the bullshit, like, Tinder interactions and stuff like that. But then you kind of find out that most of these people really suck. So when you're working with clients, do you advise them to use any online dating, or, you know, I'm guessing we're on the same book, day game, and if you want to go out and that's your thing, do that, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my clients ask me for help with their online dating, and I always tell them, wait till we work together and do a workshop, and if you still have questions about online dating after that, feel free to ask and I'll help you out. And most of the time they realize, wow, it's so much easier to meet people in the real world. And I'm meeting such a higher quality in my dating pool that I'm not even going to deal with online dating anymore. And women are so inundated with stuff on there that why try to set yourself apart in this weird contrived online world when it puts you in the top 2% of guys if you're just willing to walk up and meet people in the daytime, because no one actually does that. you know, it's so much easier to set yourself apart, get an accurate read on someone right away. It's way easier. So once you realize that, I mean, it's up to you. I wouldn't discount it, but personally, I think it's way easier in the real world.
For sure. Have you ever had someone who they didn't know that you were a coach for Pickup 101 use a Pickup 101 line on her?
All the time. Hilarious. Yeah, I love when guys do that. Or from different companies, you know, and I'll just look at them and be like, oh yeah, you learned that from Carlos Zuma.
Oh, God.
then they get horrified, you know. I'm not nice to guys in that situation because I want to see how they react, like we were talking about before. Most of them do not react well, you know, and then they've already put themselves in a category in my mind.
Totally. But I feel like you totally spin that too. You'd be like, well, hey, I'm trying, right? What do you got to have against Carlos Zuma, right? He's like the best pick out there, apparently.
Yeah, I like his stuff too. I might throw a different line back at them and see if they play, but usually they feel exposed, like, oh, she caught me, you know, which is weird. It shows that they're trying to use tricks, you know? It's like you can't rely on your real personality. What's going on there?
Totally, yeah. It was funny, my buddy, he had never heard the, do you remember the director line that Lance used to, I've heard Lance deliver a bunch of times. Basically, he goes up and he, like, busts on the girls for, you know, like, you guys are not in a situation to meet hot guys tonight. Let's work on it. You move here, you turn your head, play with your hair. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I told that to a buddy, and I think we're actually at the Matrix. And he went up not knowing it was Betty Kay, I think.
And oh, my God.
Used that line on her, and she was like, oh, how cute. You're a Pickup 101 student, which he wasn't, right? But he just, like, literally turned around and ran the other way.
And, oh, my God.
He's still pissed at me to this day for not telling him it was a Pickup 101 line, but I knew there was a very high percentage chance that someone at the Matrix had heard that before. So,
you just roll with it, you know. You have fun with it, and you say, "Oh, okay, hold on, I got another one. Check this one out," you know.
The San Francisco is like basically. I know I tell all my guy clients that live there, like, avoid San Francisco like the plague. The ratio is awful. It's just like a terrible city to date. I've never lived there, but, you know, what are your thoughts? You grew up in San Francisco, right? Or I know you've lived there.
Yeah, I grew up in the Bay. You know, I actually disagree with that because while that's the common feeling, if you actually know even a little bit about how to date, oh man, it's like shooting fish in a barrel because people are just hungry. They're thirsty for that.
The bar is pretty low. Yeah.
Oh man, like people just don't know what they're doing, and guys are so emasculated here, you know, they will not approach. It's absolutely ridiculous. Women are just practically begging guys to come up and approach them here. So if you can take on that role, oh man, it sets you apart so easily, and women really, really want that. And they want to get off of these online dating platforms. So yeah, try it out. Take a trip to San Francisco and see what happens. Go out in the daytime. Because, yeah, there are a lot more guys here. But, oh, what? Do I approach guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried it out when I was doing my dating multiple people thing, like, over the past 8 months or so. I was like, what's going to happen if I approach guys? You know, like, it's stigmatized a little, and I thought it might, like, accidentally make me pick up girly dudes. And it kind of did. Like, I approached guys, I walked up and was like, hey, you're going to take me to this concert. Like, let's go. And I went out with, like, that guy in particular. And yeah, it turns out, like, I set the stage of me taking the lead. And that's just kind of how it went down. So after one date, I was like, ooh, and completely uninterested, you know?
I
was disappointed in how that turned out, but I was not surprised. And I have a lot of really beautiful girlfriends who refuse to approach guys. They'll see them checking them out, sending signals. They know they want to talk to them, but it's such an attraction killer to have to go take the initiative to do that. It's like, what's the deal? Like, do I need like a green light on me saying, yeah, come talk to me right now? Like, what are they waiting for? You know?
Yeah, and you can show that too, you know, through eye contact and giving all the signals, and they still don't do it. It's a pretty, you know, strong warning sign that they're not going to be very willing to take the lead going forward.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of, I get a lot of frustration from women. A lot of my female clients say, man, Megan, I dressed up last night. I looked super hot. All these guys were checking me out, but none of them would come talk to me. What is the deal? You know? And so, yeah, they're really frustrated and they're sending all the signals. So what is she supposed to do in that situation?
Right. Yeah. It's funny. The first time I went to New York, I witnessed many girls hitting on guys. And I was really shocked. I actually went up to the girl. I'm like, hey, this is kind of intrusive, but like, I'm pretty sure you just went over and hit on those three guys, right? And she was like, yeah, so? Like, what's wrong with that? I'm like, oh, nothing. I've just never seen that before. From Southern California, that just doesn't happen. And sure enough, she like walked over to the guys, invited them back to like meet her two friends. It was just like the most painful, boring conversation. The guys were just basically like sitting there like, you know, bumps in the log. So it can be a challenge. Like I always tell my clients, like, I think in this situation, like, it's easier to be the guy because you get to make the initiative, right? It sucks because you have to face rejection, but at the same time, like, the ball's in your court. You don't have to play passive.
Yeah, completely. I almost get jealous of guys in that sense because you see something or someone that you are intrigued and want to meet and you just go do it. You know, it's not that easy for us. And even if we do it, a lot of guys are really intimidated by alpha women because they can't match up to that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's tough. Actually, the best dating pool of women in San Francisco are these high power, amazing, badass women who have great careers. And those are kind of the women that guys want to be dating, you know, they have their shit together. And yet those are the ones that are freaking all the guys out that become inaccessible. It's almost like if a really super hot girl to a guy that is too hard to approach. It's like the same thing, but like with personality and demeanor. But those women are having a really hard time finding guys that they're into.
Yeah, it's well, I think it's tough too, because guys can get intimidated by that. Like if they see a woman who's beautiful and she's also, you know, successful in her career, like obviously she has a pretty good balance when it comes to masculine and feminine energy, right? She's, you know, she don't need a man for that, right? So that can be tough from a guy's perspective because they're like, well, I can't measure up. You know, I've seen so many relationships break up because like the woman started making more money than the guy and he just like couldn't handle it. So it can be pretty, you know, intimidating. And I'm guessing you get a lot of that in San Francisco.
Yeah, definitely. Women have a hard time balancing that. And they view femininity as almost weakness, you know. So they're always in this masculine energy. They go to their high power career and then they go on a date and they're almost like firing off questions at the guys still within that masculine frame. And it turns the guys off. So I think women need to kind of reframe femininity as a powerful position and be able to embrace that and counterbalance that with their high power careers.
Yeah. For me, like the biggest turnoff is you walk up to a girl, the first question out of her mouth is, what do you do? Cause she's basically just sizing you up for, you know, do you fit into her category of, you know, the perfect relationship? And, you know, I encountered that a lot in New York with like the super jappy, you know, Jewish American princesses, like walk up, oh, what do you do? Oh, you're not an investment banker or a lawyer, or a doctor, no thanks. And I don't find, you know, that's why you see such a huge, like, you know, there's a ton of people going on dates in New York, but not a whole lot of people getting together. It's like the most single people ever.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's actually a question that I really like to ask because I happen to be really passionate about what I do. So I want to know if someone is spending the majority of their time doing something that's actually important to them. So while a lot of girls are just doing that to figure out how much money you make and put you in a category, you know, it's all about the intention behind the question too.
Oh, yeah, to come from. And it's so obvious when, you know, that's they're kind of asking you in like an accusatory way, almost like, so what do you do? Right. Versus,
yeah.
Like a, you know, not, they're not really interested. They just want to know if you fit the box. And I'm sure you're asking and you're actually interested. You want to know what they're passionate about.
Totally.
Yeah. Here's a question from Joseph. He says, when it comes to speed, comfort, dynamic, is it better to err on the side of one or the other? Meaning, if I'm not sure how to proceed, will moving too fast be a better mistake than moving too slow?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, is you can only move as fast as she's comfortable with. So
right.
The one limits the other. You can't, like, if you start going too fast and she's not comfortable, it's not going to work out because she's going to completely pull back from you. So you have to gauge her comfort level. So you can err on the side of moving things along quickly, but then you have to be hyper aware of her reactions. And as she's reacting to you, if you notice a negative reaction, you need to be able to decompress that situation to bring it back to that comfortable place. Does that make sense?
And that's recalling it out can be so valuable. You can pretty much defuse all bombs with that.
Exactly.
And then he said, in addition to confidence and being comfortable with age or height differences, do you have any other advice about hitting on younger and or taller women?
Younger and or taller women. I think trying to approach it differently is the thing that's going to shoot you in the foot before you get started. Like, hitting on people is hitting on people. If you find someone who interests you, you need to approach them just like anybody else. Same thing with, like, really, really attractive women. If you treat them like they're in a different category, it's already making the situation weird. So instead, you almost like put on blinders to the fact that they're younger and or taller than you. And you just approach them with the attitude of, hey, I'm curious about you. Something about you is intriguing to me and I want to find out more. I'm going to do that right now. So you still go in trying to qualify them, figure out what they're like, make a good impression. And that's it. You know, like, if you could forget that she's younger, taller, sexier than you are, that's all the better. If you forget that she's attractive and then 10 minutes into the interaction, you go, oh man, this girl's really, really hot. Then you've already made a good first impression and you haven't put her on a pedestal or started behaving in a different way just because of how you perceive her.
Right. Yeah, you got to do the George Costanza, focus on like her ugly big toe.
Exactly. You know, but like, really, like, tall women, like, don't want to be, like, treated like tall women, you know, or young women don't want to be seen as, like, oh, look at this young girl, you know, that's when it becomes creepy. They just want to be seen as a person. So if you can make them feel like that, then they're going to get comfortable with you. And like we were saying with the speed comfort thing, that's exactly what you're going for.
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend is the same height as me. She wears heels. She's towering over me, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, 6 inches, depending on the heels. And I like it. It's sexy to me that, you know, she's taller than me. It's cool because a lot of guys will be like, whoa, don't you feel like emasculated by that? Or like, you know, what? That's weird. And I'm like, no, there's no problem whatsoever. So, and I see that across the board with, you know, so like she's a model. A lot of her friends are models and they're all tall, right? Models are tall. You can't be a model unless you're at least like 5'8", 5'9", right? And
right.
There's not a whole lot of guys, you know, and when girls go out, they like to dress in heels. So, you know, you have to be like 6'2 or 6'3 to even be the same height. And, you know, it's like an unrealistic expectation. I've never, ever heard any of her friends like complain about height. It's funny. It's always the shorter girls that want the tall guys. Like my sister's 5 foot and she always says, oh, I want tall guys, tall guys, tall guys, but then she ends up dating, like, 5'2" guys. So,
yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, your attitude is, oh, I think it's sexy, you know, like, I like that she wears heels, so she's going to mirror that and say, oh, he thinks it's sexy, I think it's sexy, no problem, you know? So, women follow lead. You just have to give her the example.
So, here's a texting question from Joel. And then we might have time for maybe one or two live ones. He says, some girls want a lot of attention, text and calls. Where to go? Some girls want, boy, keep in touch, but I'll see you when we plan. How do I tell which way to communicate with the girl?
All right. Well, my answer to that is, what do you want and what's your style? Because you want someone who fits your style, right? If you're constantly catering to what it is that she's looking for, then you're shape-shifting, you know? And yeah. I'm imagining you're probably a high-quality dude, and there are girls out there who are going to be just really resonate with who you are right now. Like me personally, I'm a horrible texter. Like guys, when I was dating a lot of guys recently, they would make fun of me for it because it's just not my thing. You know, I like voice to voice calls. That's what I'm into. And I'm not gonna budge for anyone else. That's just how I am. So I think you're
big on text game.
You should take the lead on that, and you dictate how you're going to communicate and set the stage for the relationship and make it clear how you do things, and then stay consistent and stick with that, you know? And that's an attractive role. And then once again, she'll follow your lead within that if you take a strong lead.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I mean, we've touched on kind of that similar theme throughout this call. It's like, you know, be you, and if people say no, then good riddance. Right? Like, you didn't want them anyways. And if you did end up in a, like, somehow in a relationship, that's probably not going to last. That was all the questions posted in the group, but those are some really good ones. Does anyone else have anything for Megan?
I have. My question is, what are some things that girls, need help with? As far, I'm just curious, like, what are some of their, like, you know, sticking points or things they have trouble with that they come to you for?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, women are constantly telling me that they keep going on dates with the same guy with a different face. So they're attracting the same kind of person. And it's generally someone who's kind of needy. It's either a needy guy or it's guys who only want really casual relationships and there's nothing in between. And the biggest issue that these women are facing is insecurity problems and self-worth problems, you know, so they're constantly trying to people please and be exactly what the guy is looking for instead of just being comfortable with who they are. So I think, yeah, biggest problems are insecurity, self-worth, and constantly trying to make it work instead of just seeing what does work. So they need to be willing to just let the relationship go. They struggle with a lot of the same issues as guys. And then also the one we talked about before with women not being able to be feminine, you know, so full force at work that they forget how to just kind of take a more, they can't follow a lead anymore because they're always trying to dictate what happens, take control, and can't just relax and be receptive.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, Robbie, I'd be curious what you'd say to that one too, from the women that you work with or women in your life. What are the problems that they're dealing with over there?
Yeah, I mean, I hear usually the same boring guys aren't original. You know, it's just the same old guys using, you know, basically taking them on the same old boring dates, trying to flash their money or name drop or just do all the cringeworthy things that, you know, it's always surprising to me because it's so easy to find dating advice these days. Like, it's very rare that I'll talk to someone who doesn't know about dating advice, yet so few guys choose to act on it, which is, I just don't get that at all. Like, when I stumbled across this, I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, this could really improve my life and my happiness. I'd have to be a complete fool to not invest, you know, in myself in this area. And there's so many guys that just don't. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of complaints about just guys not taking action, too. Like we were talking about, guys not approaching, you know, they're frustrated with looking cute and putting in all the effort and then not getting noticed by guys. But they are getting noticed. They're just not getting approached because guys don't know what to say and what to do.
Right, yeah, that really struck me. That really struck me. I mean, that's just, you know, it sucks that that's how it is.
But honestly, I mean, that's kind of a positive for you guys because you're actually on the path of learning this stuff. So you're going to really set yourself apart. So amazing. Yeah, come to San Francisco. You'll make a lot of ladies happy out here for actually taking some action.
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, any other final questions for Megan?
I have a follow-up question for Megan. You mentioned that if you're approaching somebody who's really attractive, treat them the same way as you would treat somebody else. but that is kind of more difficult to do. Can you elaborate on that more? Like,
absolutely.
Derek, can you, on a theoretical basis, right?
Derek, do me a favor, repeat the question. There's a bunch of background noise.
Okay. So she mentioned that, and I completely agree with it, that when you're approaching somebody who's really attractive or somebody who's really tall, you approach them as you would approach any other person or any other girl. However, you're approaching them because they are different. So it creates almost like a contradiction, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Well, you're approaching them. I mean, I think a little reframe there is helpful. It's not because they're different. You're approaching them because they caught your interest, you know? Something in them attracted you. And so it makes you want to go approach and find out more
right.
about them. So that's the thing that brings you to that action point where you're actually going to go do something. But if you approach them in a different way and start treating them differently, what that sub-communicates is maybe you don't have a lot of attractive women in your life. Contrary to that, if you treat them like you do everyone else, it's communicating, hey, I'm really comfortable and natural around very attractive women. Maybe I have lots of experience with them. Maybe I have lots of attractive women in my life. Because it's not affecting your behavior. So the more that you can train your body just to have this reflex of, oh, I'm interested in that person. I'm walking up and approaching, the more natural it becomes and your behavior kind of smooths out. Until eventually, maybe you'll do it on such a automatic reflex basis that it'll take you a few minutes to actually realize, oh my God, this woman would, 10 months ago, she would have made me really nervous. I probably would have started acting pretty weird. Now, I can just approach in this really natural, normal way, and that's going to build attraction for her.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, good, really good advice.
Absolutely.
So, Megan, how do, anyone listening to this, how do they find out about you? How do they get involved or if they want to coach with you?
Yeah, absolutely. My website right now is at www.meetfoxy.com. My company is called Foxy with an IE. You can check it out. My online presence is kind of shit at the moment, but it's under construction. You can join a mailing list and find out more. I'm going to be offering a lot of workshops in the coming months, some on first dates, some on networking, doing one day things. If you want to come out to San Francisco, awesome. There's no better way to learn than by actually getting in there. I bring women into the classroom, so that's a really good opportunity to get some feedback in real time on the brutally honest. So it's a good system. So feel free to reach out to me there, or you can email me at meetfoxy@gmail.com. And yeah, feel free to ask me any questions. I have a huge passion for coaching, so I'm definitely happy to help you guys out. I know you're in great hands with Robbie. That's awesome. Super happy to reconnect and work with him.
Thank you. And thanks so much for coming on the call. It's always great to like talk to a girl who not only like gets it and is cool, but couldn't explain it, because so often I feel like guys get misled by, just advice that, it's kind of counterintuitive, but it's rare to find a girl who's cool, who gets it and can explain it. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you guys. Really good questions. I hope you all make some quick progress and feel free to reach out and get in touch.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for jumping on, and thanks for everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you guys all soon.
All right. Bye guys.
Yes. Yeah.